fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Trying to find out who's running more hot, Rich Keefe or Michael Irvin.
I never sweat, even during that whole little episode.
Because it's an ice box in here, for one thing.
Well, that helps.
By the way, I know everybody in the building is gone, except us. And the sales staff.
Are you suggesting they could still mix in some heat?
Well, did they decide, you know, there's not enough people to actually run the furnaces and stuff.
No,
so
guess not.
They have taken the heat with them across the street because it has been ice cold here.
It's colder in here than it is outside.
I'm a bigger guy. Shime's got a little meat to him. He's thrown on a jacket.
Got a little meat to him.
Yeah, easy.
Got a little meat to him.
Maybe a hefty guy, but that's
a little
kind of not.
I said
nice.
You got
a cheap shot there, really.
Well, I wasn't even listening at the
time. No, Shem's just minding his own business over there.
Over there.
Trying to help him out with stuff.
And then Rossi jumps on the mics and he's like,
everyone's all testy in here today.
You know who's got a little meat to
him? I think
it's
the cold.
That's Shem. Jeez.
Well, can we get back to the original point, which is
it's freezing
throw
here.
A log on the fire in this damn place.
My point is, Shem's throwing on a jacket in here.
It is a bit nippy in here.
Yeah, it's... Well, did you see...
And he's fat.
Did you see
that's it.
Caitlin's got the hat on, the hood.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
She's got the entire outfit going in there.
You only got to add a layer when you come inside compared to what you are outside.
Did you throw your headphones?
Are you done fat shaming for the day?
I would never...
For the day, are you
ever
done?
Call someone fat.
Okay.
Husky,
he
maybe.
Just, yeah, he's so creative about it.
I said he's got a little meat on him. He's a bigger guy. He's not a lean.
All right, you're making it worse.
Hey, I'm probably the same weight.
He's a bigger guy.
Just because I enjoy meat doesn't mean I'm a meaty guy. Come on.
Right.
I said you got meat on you.
Oh, my God.
We all do.
You guys
got
to figure this
out. This place has just
time.
Gone to hell in
it
a
really
handbasket.
Has. Holy smokes.
Started out with you and I screaming at each other. Next thing we know, they're in there rolling around in the dirt.
I love how we're screaming about something that hasn't happened all year to the Patriots.
And won't.
The only reason it came up was because I think it's the closest thing to the Kyrie Irving, Jamal Murray thing. Like, obviously, there's no perfect comparison to each thing, but somebody was trying to talk about, like, an empty netter in hockey. You're like, well, no, that happens all the time. Like, guys go for it, and they should. It's an empty net. This was a little bit different. But again, just to put the finishing touches on it, Kyrie was mad about Jamal Murray, but not nearly as mad as he was about the team and their performance. That was really what got him.
Well,
all
and
upset.
That and I wish in the post game he'd cut it off there.
Yeah,
you know,
he couldn't help himself.
Yeah, no, he
couldn't help
because he was still running hot.
Yeah, he was.
Somebody on Twitter posted a great video. They show Kyrie firing the ball.
Yeah,
and then they cut to the ball hitting Kevin Love.
Oh, that shot is great.
Yeah.
When he gets,
you know, we finally found out where the ball ended up.
They showed us that there was one where LeBron did that too in like a shoot around. They should splice that one in.
So in just a few minutes, we're going to kind of change directions a little bit, and we're going to talk about what happened to the Ottawa Senators, who, by the way, I happen to think the players got wronged in this thing, but they're not covering themselves with glory. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
No.
There are ways to handle it, and none of them are being taken
Correct.
By the Ottawa Senators right now. Rick's up in Maine. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
What's
today?
Going
hey,
on?
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I think that it's just clock management. You know, if the shoe was on the other foot and the Patriots were down, even if it was for, you know, by one scoring possession, you should have scored more points. That's the way it goes. That's the way the game goes these days. You know, I guess my bigger gripe would be with the tie in the NFL. It's just stupid. But, you know, if you got the ball and you can close out the game, then how you manage the clock is how you manage the clock.
Yeah,
Within reason. I mean, that's I guess that's my whole point on that whole thing.
Yeah,
is
you know, if there's definitely a lot more time in the tank there, then you know, if a quarterback's dropping back and waiting, you know, 5 seconds, 7 seconds, then now that's kind of dirty pool.
Right.
But you know, if they're just trying to shave off a couple seconds with each down, that's one thing. But if you start getting up into 5 seconds, and now you are taken away from the game.
If you're taking the snap with 43 seconds left, and you really want to take the knee at 40, I mean, if you're, you know, wait, okay, touch the knee down, and it's 40, and okay, now we can all go home. That's what the situation I'm talking about. Absolutely, if the quarterback's standing there and just waiting. And
yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever done, you know,
I've never
7 seconds
that,
or whatever, but I just think anything more than one is where you have a problem, and in a close game, because to the caller's original point was be better at clock management. Like, you can't say, all right, now we're all set to just do the knees, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, we're going to have to give the ball back to him. This is not what we wanted.
Yeah.
Well, then you have to run a real play, and you can't
I've never
use that
seen
as the real play.
Out of victory formation, punt the ball away. I've never seen that happen.
No.
In other words, your clock management is so bad. Oh, damn it. Look, we got 10 seconds left.
No, you're not doing that.
Once you've taken your three knees in victory formation, you better be at zero.
But I have seen teams do it where they take the knee at first, and then they're looking at it and like, uh-oh. Now you sort of ask your quarterback to sort of, you know, take your time. You know, don't go down right away. And, like, that's where you get into the whole issue.
John's in Concord. Hey, John.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, John? How are you?
Good, not bad. You know, you guys are kind of getting on track now with this thing. I mean, who wants to be the 50-point scorer in basketball where the last shot that you made, you know, went in like that? So if he wants to shoot that and be proud of himself, all the power to him. I think there's a little asterisk in his head with that one. But, you know, if the Patriots or whatever team is about to kneel down, you know, the defensive linemen, Keith, you're talking about them getting offended and, like, you know, going after people. Why would that happen if they were getting blown out? You know, they just want to go home at that point.
What if it's close?
If it's close, then they're lining up, like, ready to go. You know, they're going to try to get in there and make a fumble happen during the snap. I mean, that's the scenario that you're looking at there. I mean,
I just think when it's close and if a quarterback's doing that, there's still sort of an agreement where, all right, the guy, you know, the center exchange was completed. They don't go full go because especially now you can't go anywhere near the quarterback. If God forbid they touch the face mask or something, then as a first down, then the game's definitely over.
If it's a one score game, the defense is not in there saying, you know, go ahead and kneel down. They're firing off the ball to try to get the ball back.
Maybe, but there's like an agreement on both sides that that's not really like a competitive play.
Yeah, both teams.
It's not a competitive play.
Yeah.
If it's a more than a one score game, there's the agreement. But I'm talking about when it's, you know, when there's a chance to win the game on getting the ball back, then they're going to fly off the you know, on the snap.
Yeah, I mean, I do think chances are you're probably not going to see the victory formation if you're up by three. You know, your chances are then you're going to be very careful with the football, but you're not going to be.
No,
you know,
I think you will.
But you're not going to be standing there for 2-3 seconds. Literally going
to
get the snap, hit the knee, and you know, you're not going to be doing that in a 3-point game.
You shouldn't.
You might be doing that in a 14-point game where you're just. Look, both of us just want to go home. We just want to get out of here.
No, they do at that point when the game is over with. Sure.
Joe's in Franklin. Hey, Joe.
Hi. I just want to point out, a few years ago, the Patriots were playing. They were up 2 or 3 points late in the game. Doug Flutie was quarterback in the other team. And he, to show you what can happen, he had indicated to the officials that he was going to spike the ball, which would give them time to get the field goal team one. So the official was to blow the whistle when he spiked it. Well, the ball was snapped. Flutie raised his hand to spike it, and the ball slipped out of his hand. The official immediately blew the whistle, which now was clearly a fumble. And Belichick, I remember, was irate. But those are the things that can happen.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about here, Joe, that people have lost track of, we're not talking about a 2-point, 3-point game here. Generally speaking, what we're talking about is, you know, both teams just want to get out. The margin.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the victory formation in general. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes it is a close game. And they kind of look at it wrong, and they're too afraid to hand the ball off to a running back, so they just decide to take the knees and they tell the quarterback to be a little extra patient about it. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So imagine this scenario: you and your coworkers are talking about your boss. What you don't know is that somebody's videotaping you secretly.
Oh.
You don't know about it. Not only that, but they're then going to take that secret videotape and they're going to post it online. So that everybody else gets to hear what you and your coworkers were saying about your boss. Probably not a scenario that you'd like to put yourself in. It's what happened to some members of the Ottawa Senators. We'll talk about that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, so here's the situation. The Ottawa Senators is a team kind of in a rebuilding mode. You know, they've traded away Eric Carlson and others.
Well, they had that whole disaster happen to them last year with Hoffman's girlfriend?
And the whole cyberbullying thing.
It was brutal.
So they've been kind of a team in free fall. So It's either October 29th or 30th. The date's a little up in the air. The Ottawa Senators are in Phoenix. They're on a road trip. They're in Phoenix. They've got a Western Road swing. And so seven senators hop in a van or an SUV that they, you know, order from Uber.
That's a lot of senators.
I know. Well, they're cheap, too, apparently.
I guess.
So there's seven of them, and they hop in this thing. And the Uber driver, now, I do understand that there are some Uber drivers who have, like, video cameras almost as a way of protecting themselves. You know, if somebody holds them up or abuses the vehicle or things like that.
So they have it on, you know, in front of them.
Okay,
so
this is what happened. Right. This is what these guys did.
Okay.
Not the situation here where there was a five-minute video that was shot from a camera mounted by the rearview mirror. The video was then posted on both YouTube and Twitter. And as I said, imagine now if you and some of your coworkers were, you know, off doing what you're doing and talking about the people you work with.
Talking shop a little bit.
Yeah. And would you want that video out there for all the world to see? Now, we've had to do a little bleeping here.
Okay. Oh, well. Hey.
Well, and let's just say if we haven't done the bleeping, see you, Rossi. So let's this is just a little taste
from the YouTube cam.
Of what got out there.
Uber cam.
Yeah.
What team did you guys play for?
Ottawa.
Oh, okay.
You can tell we're really pleased with, you know.
Yeah, I named Marty Raymond.
Marty Raymond. All
right, stop for a second.
Probably guess her.
Marty Raymond is the one of the assistant coaches. He's in charge of special teams, and that's who they're openly mocking here as one of the assistant coaches.
PK's near the bottom of the league right now.
Yeah, we're like 68% in
today. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Will you please look it up?
We're second or third.
What's our keeper?
We're 10. I don't know.
That's
like 25, maybe?
As long as you guys are like top 5 in the league.
Yeah. Power play is 9 at 25.
There's not many teams that get
the
in
the old
playoffs.
PK's at 29 at 69%. We're 2% away from the worst. We get buried on tomorrow. Flyers and Hurricanes. We get buried on tomorrow. We're bottom of the league.
What would they go 2-for-5 last game? Marty Raymond.
No, I think they won one. They went
only coach in NHL history to have the worst power play and worst PK within a
back to back
within a calendar year of each other.
It's actually hard to do.
It is.
That's impressive.
Do you notice that when he runs the video, like if you actually do pay attention, he doesn't ever teach you anything. He just commentates what's happening. He's like, here's so-and-so skating on the wall with the puck.
Yeah, he doesn't say what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing too. We don't change anything ever, so why do you even have a meeting? Like, I haven't paid attention in 3 weeks. And like, I got my first shift, like, last game.
You must have been listening.
Yeah. And I knew what to do because he hasn't changed a thing. I also hate how he quizzes us. He's like,
what do you do here, Mags?
Mags like, I don't know. For me?
Hesitation? No.
No.
It's like,
I got it wrong. Like, he came up to me after. We didn't think of this.
No, coach, we're at practice at school.
Yes,
he's in the middle of the
right, yeah. So we'll interrupt for here. I mean, these guys
ripping
are
the coach.
The organization, the coach. Now, one of the voices you heard, the first voice you heard, is supposed to be one of their big stars. It's Matt Duchene, who they acquired from the Ottawa Senators, from the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. He thinks he's like a number one center. No one else in the NHL thinks he's a number one center.
He does, yeah. Is he paid like one, though?
Not yet. He wants to be.
Okay. Okay.
Among the other people that you hear in there, there's defenseman Chris Weidman. He's sitting, by the way, in the front passenger seat,
Dale. There's seven of them in there.
I understand.
he was forced to.
You hear Chris Tierney in there. He's seated behind the driver.
You're talking to your phone.
My Siri went off while we were talking.
Like, you know what? I have something to add to this.
Defenseman Thomas Chabot is in the middle of the second row of seats. They know who all the players are. Dylan DeMello, some of these other guys. So we'll pick up again with...
I mean, what happens now? Like, where do you turn?
Asked me once, too, and I didn't give him the good answer, and he came to see me after, and I was like, Marty, I didn't play a shift in like since the start of last season.
How about the pracky? How about the pracky when I hadn't played a PK?
All the way.
I was PKing and
Oral teed went up off my laces.
Oh, yeah.
That boomeranged my Twiggy into the glass.
Okay, can we stop for a minute?
A lot of hockey talk here. I'm having a hard time.
By the way, I've never
boomeranged my Twiggy.
I've never heard anybody talking about Pracky.
Fracky.
Or boomeranging my Twiggy.
It's way too much hockey talk. I mean, we need to get somebody to translate all of this hockey talk.
Yeah, we might talking saucy paws next. We don't even know what's up.
Dollop of dangle sauce or something. I don't know what they're doing.
What are they saying? Is it mean? Is it not mean?
I'm more fascinated that these guys actually like Wikipedia or Googling or Bing.
They're looking up their own stats.
Like, what are we on the PK? They know it's terrible, and they're looking at it, and then they're laughing about it. Like, it's all the coach's fault. Like, it's not the seven guys on the team. Like, you guys suck. All of you, your team sucks. A third of the roster is in the Uber. Like, who else are you blaming?
How about the Pracky when I hadn't played a PK shit yet? I was PKing and oral teed went up off my laces.
Oh, yeah.
That boomeranged my Twiggy into the glass. I was so mad.
It's like, don't you
I wasn't even mad
at you. I saw you get hit and.
Great
He's like, if you notice.
Good job, Dutch, you can't turn it on.
If you notice. He's like, if you notice Mello. Was over there.
Look at this play with Mel.
Mello, we need a
Mello.
We need to do something crazy tomorrow.
Yeah.
We need you to like slide and block up with your
rights tomorrow. I'm gonna erupt.
Trying to
take
PK. What if we all just start?
Mello, tomorrow.
Find a nice battle behind the net. Maybe we'll get a right.
Tomorrow, you like legit need to slide out and block with your head.
I would love to
be like rights. No.
So what happens now? What's the next team?
The Ottawa Senators
like?
Have found a way to screw this up too, even beyond what you hear. So I actually don't blame the players here. I blame Uber completely. As I said,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you get together with some of your coworkers, you might say things about the people that you work for that wouldn't sound very complimentary. I mean, Uber Canada put out a statement about this whole thing, about this is against their, passengers being filmed without their consent, having a private conversation, clear violation of our terms.
Well, that guy had no idea who they were either. He was like, who do you play for? Ottawa. He's like, okay.
Right.
He's like, I can't wait to upload this to my YouTube channel. We get so many hits.
Ottawa.
So what happened was the players put out a statement, quote unquote, we want to apologize publicly to Marty Raymond, our teammates and coaches for our comments in Phoenix on October 29th. Our private conversation was recorded without our knowledge or consent. We're passionate about our team, focusing on growing together, grateful for the support of our fans and organization.
Oh, is that right?
This is an important learning experience, and we will do better. They haven't made any of them available to the media.
Oh, boy.
Today at practice, they brought out several players, Mark Borowiecki, who's a lunkhead, Mark Stone. They brought them out.
Oh, yeah.
None of the players who were in the Uber were allowed to talk to the media because...
I mean, this is a team, amazing to think about, just 2 years ago, they beat the Bruins in the playoffs. And you're like, oh, this team, maybe like, they got something going there. And then they have the weird cyberbullying infighting last year, and they end up getting rid of both players, Carlson, who's their best player, and Hoffman. They get rid of both of those guys. And then now this, like, how awkward is practice going to be?
That boomerang my Twiggy into the glass.
Well, that whole boomerang my Twiggy into the glass. Now, how would you like to be poor Marty Raymond? Martin Raymond, who's the assistant coach who they are
just crushing.
Killing.
Just crushing them. Yeah, like, what do you do? Like, do you try to, are you, like, now tougher on these guys? Are you not? Are you just, you got to be kind of embarrassed. Like, even though you want to, like, you know how they all really feel about you now. So no matter what they say to you going forward, it's not going to change. See, that's why I operate my life that everybody is listening all the time. There's video, there's voice recordings. Everything, everywhere. They know where you are. They're listening on your phone, everything.
Think of how many athletes, not just hockey, I mean, all the athletes, all the different sports, are now, right now somewhere in a locker room or whatever going, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Remember that Uber trip?
Right.
Remember the stuff we were saying about so-and-so and such?
I mean,
right now there are people out there in professional sports going, oh, please don't let them post this.
I know. Well, I even, like, when in front of, like, a Uber driver, in front of somebody else, it's still odd. Like, do you just say whatever you want with somebody else there?
I wouldn't. Yeah,
I don't.
No.
If there's a group of you in a car, you're not thinking about that person.
I think I kind of am. Like, I'm not saying I've never said something that, I wish that person wouldn't have then flipped on me. But I'm just saying, like, I think I still sort of censor myself in front of a stranger. I think I still do because you don't know what's going
to
happen.
By the way, I don't know whether this Uber video was recorded on the way to dinner. It sounds more like maybe on the way back dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows if that was involved.
Maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, you got to be careful. I think the Uber driver is worse than the players are here.
He's gone.
But it's like, but that's sort of out of sight, out of mind. Now for the team, it's like, all right, where do you go from here? Are they possibly going to be able to get along? What does the coach think? Everything else.
And they've got this nightmare. Look, the whole organization's a nightmare anywhere. Anyway, there was talk at one point about whether the owner was going to keep the team in Ottawa. Now they deal off their best player. They're in a complete rebuilding mode. You've now got players on the team who are openly mocking the coaching staff.
Well, Guy Boucher is the head coach there, right?
Yes, he put out a statement too. The statements that they put out are all pablum. They're all
But those guys have to get out.
We like everybody here.
Yeah, but those guys have to address the media. They have it's not going to really be able. They're not going to be able to put it to bed until they answer a few questions about it.
They just released a statement, and here's a video.
Oh, the team did?
I boomeranged my Twiggy into the glass.
They just distract him with some hockey talk.
I wasn't my laces.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Your laces. All right.
I mean, it's an organization in complete and utter chaos. Anyway.
Yeah. Good.
And then they have it's that age old thing where bad things happen to bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Patriots were really, really bad. And then the next thing you know, Zeke Mowat and Lisa Olsen happens.
Right.
Things like that don't happen around good teams. They only happen around bad teams.
Right. And then it just continues to pile up. Oh. And that's what they're dealing with.
Here's a little advice, you know, for the boys and girls.
Sure.
If you're in an Uber or a Lyft or a cab or a city bus, you've got to assume somebody somewhere has the ability to hear what you're saying.
Oh, there is ears and eyes
Stop
on
Stop it.
I've watched enough show. I've watched enough TV shows to know that they could spy on you with anything. Little pen camera. You ever seen those? Mission Impossible style? It's out there.
Could you imagine if this was like the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, I know.
Or the Patriots.
Or LeBron.
LeBron. Well, I'm going to guess LeBron's probably limoing anyway.
Well, LeBron talking about Luke Walton. Like, wouldn't you want to hear that? I'd hear that. No, it wouldn't matter. Luke Walton would just be gone, and they would maybe speed up the process. But, yeah, that would be more. Like if it was an NFL team that'd be pretty fascinating.
There is Texter says, I drive for Uber. Literally had an ex-girlfriend confront for the first time her ex who secretly filmed a sex tape with them.
Oh,
hey. I mean, there are things you don't need to be sharing, okay?
Pretty good.
Like, you don't need to be sharing about, you know, boomeranging your Twiggy.
No, but please
maybe
don't.
This one was doing the same thing. I'm not sure.
But I wonder what the... I wonder how that is. Like, I wonder if it's a law. Like, if you get into an Uber and somebody is recording the whole thing, and like you said, maybe for their safety, if they want to just have that.
I even sort of half understand.
I would
that.
Get it too, but I wonder if they have to point that out to you. Like, oh, by the way, just as a heads up, this is recording. Like,
no,
do they have to do that?
There has to be something in the car that lets you know.
Like,
and I think
sign.
You still have to sign off of something. But
and in this case, Uber already acknowledged.
Oh, that guy screwed up.
There
I'm
was
saying,
no permission yeah. asked. There was no, hey, just so you fellas know.
Yeah.
Camera right here, because I'm going to guess, go out on a limb, that suggests maybe their conversation would have run differently.
I'm guessing it would have, yeah.
What a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just thinking back to all the Uber trips we've taken when we've been on the road and stuff.
I don't say anything. I don't.
Sit there politely?
Yeah.
So?
I sit there in the back seat.
Warm weather you're
not
having
like a psycho.
Here, huh, sir?
Talk about the weather. And then it's tough because you're like, I want to get a good score from the Uber driver. So do I talk to him? Do I not talk to him? What is he or she looking to get? Like, I don't know. It's tough. A lot of pressure.
I don't know how that, well, look, that organization's kind of screwed up anyway, but
yeah.
I'm not sure how they recover from this whole thing. What they think, the route to recovery for them is hide all these guys. Don't let them talk to anybody.
And then something else will pop
send
up. There'll
out,
be another story
send
tomorrow.
Send out Mark Stone,
yeah,
who's a good upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
Send out Craig Anderson. He'll say all the right things at mm-hmm. the right times. Don't let any of these morons talk.
Mm-hmm.
But... do you actually think that when players get together on every single team on the planet, they don't say stuff like this all the time?
They do. I just don't know if they do it in front of somebody.
That is sort of dumb, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like it's an extra risk.
I mean, even on really, really good teams.
Yeah.
If you saw uncensored, candid conversations between teammates, I can't believe that they put that guy on the first power play unit.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't believe he's getting minutes. Jalen Brown shouldn't be playing ahead. Oh, no, that was a caller earlier.
That was
never
a caller.
He was
really upset that he ever came off the court. He was really mad.
Ever.
Yeah.
Well, I would say it'd be fun to follow here, but I don't think I think what they're going to try to do now is run from it.
Yeah, they're just waiting for something else to come out. And something will, you know, something will be a bigger story, even just in the hockey world. Something will pop up tomorrow, and then they'll try to, you know, hide behind that.
A texter points out that Aaron Hernandez happened on a good team. That's not the same sort of thing we're talking about. I mean, that guy had issues before.
But then he was gone. Here and you're right. I mean, like, doesn't mean that, you know, no guys get into trouble, but then it's also how you then deal with it.
By the way, I did listen to the most recent podcast of Gladiator.
Yeah, how was that?
It dropped today. This episode was called Erasing Aaron.
Oh, it was about the Jersey Give Back Day?
Well, that was in there.
Yeah.
That was among the things that was in there. But they had 300 recordings, jailhouse phone recordings.
Wow.
It was weird hearing his voice.
Yeah.
And hearing his voice a lot in conversations. A lot of Marquise Pouncey in there.
Mm.
They seem to be quite close.
Good buddy.
They talk a lot.
He had the free Hernandez shirt on.
There was a lot of Kirk and Callahan in this particular episode.
Is that right?
There was. They seem to be making some accusations that might be hard to back up, which is why they didn't do it directly. They just sort of
threw it out there.
Danced around
loosely.
It a little
Got
bit.
It.
Let's get a call in here real quick. Mark's in Portsmouth. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. I mean, the premise of my original call is that these knuckleheads were being recorded and knew it, but it's like, it's so disturbing in so many ways that how stupid this generation is, where they just, like, when we had parties or if we were hooking up with a teacher and we were a senior, I mean, we didn't, our goal was to hide it.
What?
Enjoy the pleasure of it. I'm not saying that, but like, I'm
I hear you.
You're referring to
I got
the
you.
Barstool thing. But it's also a lack of complete credibility or accountability by these guys to say, you know, everybody complains about their coaches, but it's like, seriously, guys, like, take it upon yourselves. You guys suck. You're an embarrassment to your organization. Like, step up, you know, and that's why we're so lucky over the last 11 years to experience what we have. And I know Belichick never says anything, but it's like we have the antithesis of that here with the Patriots and now with Cora and Tito before then. It's just, but this is the direction the world is going in.
Well, we haven't had a lot of really dumb things happen around here, around teams, because the teams have been so good.
Right.
You know, things like this, where you basically got an insurrection. Probably chicken and beer is the last thing, right?
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah,
that was the last thing I can think of.
And that basically cost him his job.
Cost Terry Francona his job.
Right.
What else you got? It's coming up next, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, we got time for a couple of things that may have slipped by us in the course of the program.
What else you got?
I'll kick it off.
All right, Dale, what else do you got?
According to Harvard researchers.
Heard of it.
A paper that will be published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters on November 12th. A pair of researchers from Harvard suggest that a mysterious elongated object that was seen speeding past the sun in 2017 could have been a space probe sent by aliens.
Hello.
Hello. They're saying they used meticulous mathematical analysis to make the case that the object was a light sail of artificial origin due to the way it sped up as it passed by the sun. So what they're saying, they think that the aliens may have been sending a probe, which is still on its way, by the way.
Probe?
Said to be 10 times longer than it is wide, travels at speeds of nearly 200,000 miles per hour.
I'm convinced that the dumbest alien is smarter than the smartest human.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not
like
close.
An alien house pet.
Yeah.
Is
oh,
smarter than any of
Correct.
Us, right?
Yes.
It just worries me that an institution like Harvard is saying this.
Yes.
This, you know, that we have a space probe sent by aliens to spy on Earth. They're suggesting, though, it might not be operational anymore. They're not sure yet.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, they're not sure, but.
They'll come up with another one. They'll have another one.
Okay.
What else you got?
Well, sorry to have a bit of a downer here, but this is a bit of a sad story. You guys know former retired boxer Mario Melo, the Argentinian boxer.
Not familiar with his work.
He died on Sunday during a croissant-eating contest in Buenos Aires.
Wow.
The contest was how many croissants could you eat in a minute?
Oh, they're really dry.
And while eating just his third croissant, choked to death.
And what?
Yeah, 56-year-old Mario Melo dead from croissants.
Joey Chestnut scoffs at the
idea.
Oh,
he would eat 1,000 croissants.
He would eat all of the croissants.
Dead.
What else you got?
How do we bury the lead today?
Dale's book?
Today is Dale's book.
Dale's book is out.
That's a song. I was expecting Dale all day. I know you don't want to do it.
He did a great job.
I have not brought it up.
Everybody, for the last like 3 weeks, it's like, oh, a week from now, my book comes out. 6 days from now, my book comes out. 5 days. And now the book is out. We haven't got one shameless plug.
So get it anywhere, right?
Amazon, now it's available everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Tomorrow, I will plug this.
Yes,
tomorrow night, Matt Kalman and I will be at the BU bookstore, Barnes & Noble at BU at 7 p.m. to sign copies of the book.
Nice.
Our first signing of the book season. We've got other ones that are coming up later on. But,
maybe you'll see Professor Holly over at BU, too.
We might.
You might run into
him. I would love to see Professor Holly.
Pretty good.
Now, I have a question. When you do these book signings,
yeah,
is this just for, like, promotion?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know if you got, like, a little scratch.
Yeah, if they buy the book.
Scoop up that paper?
Yeah, if they buy the book.
So Matt involved in this, like, he helped edit the book. How does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote it, sent it to him for, you know, he would look at it and say, hey, maybe you should need to put something in about this, or maybe you need more about that.
That's my goal in life, is to be that,
guy.
Somebody.
Be that guy.
Be the with.
Be the with. Like, just somewhere
Keith
in
wrote
there.
A book with Jason Ross.
Yes, and I really don't do all that much, but I get to go on, like, the little pub tour.
That's not a bad deal.
Well, you're downselling what Matt did. I'm just...
No. I'm talking about me. I'm sure he's an excellent editor. And
all right.
Did a,
you don't, what are you doing?
I don't know. I think we're going to have to
help
the podcast.
He's trying to bail himself out.
You don't know.
Well, I'll be out on the book tour starting tomorrow night, and thank you. Just buy the damn thing.
Buy the book.
Would
you buy the book?
Talk.
And please today limit yourself to 2 croissants. That's the other thing.
Evidently,
I would say.
That third one is sort of the
2 croissants
tipping
please.
Point.
Come on.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next.
Our music.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.